And we will continue this morning our study on the 40 Christian virtues. And we've looked at five so far. We're going to do them alphabetically just to keep it simple. But we've looked at five Christian virtues. Can anybody remember one of the five that we've looked at so far? Anybody? You know, it starts with the early letters in the alphabet, so maybe that helps. Anybody remember one? Pippa. Boldness. That was our first. Boldness. Anybody remember a second one? Yes. Commitment and consecration. Yes. That's two. Beryl? Compassion. Very good. Any others? Do you remember?
Kindness.
We're getting there, but that's K. So not yet. Pippa?
Contentment.
Contentment. Very good. That's four of the five. There was one left. Beryl?
Diligence.
Very good, Jan. Yes, so diligence was our last week. This week, discretion. Discretion or prudence is another word. Circumspection is another word. And we'll look quickly at the potential memory verses to help for God's people to be able to remember that we're to be discreet or prudent in our Christian lives. So Proverbs 22:3, Mr. Scott, and then we will pray and look at this together.
A prudent man foreseeth the evil that hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished.
So it says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. So what does that tell us about prudence before we pray? Because he's contrasting it with someone who's not prudent and he gets punished. Beryl? Okay, so keep yourselves from evil, but being able to look ahead, right, and see that's a dangerous thing to do, that's a dangerous place to go. That's prudence. That's circumspect. It's having enough godly wisdom to keep yourself away from the danger. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd give us your wisdom and your guidance as we look at your word together. May we continue to learn, and Lord, may it be our desire to implement every single one of these in our Christian walk. Thank you for your word. We trust it. We know it's powerful, and we trust its power to even work in our hearts this morning, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He says, uh-oh, that's evil. I better run from that. I better hide from that. Amen. But the foolish pass on and are punished. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 19:11, Howard.
The discretion of a man cureth the danger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression.
So what do we learn about discretion from that verse? It says he deferreth his anger and passeth over a transgression. Is he talking about his own transgressions there? Are we to pass over our own transgressions? Do you know of any scriptures that says when we sin that we're to pass over it and let it go? There's no verses like that, is there? So it's not talking about our transgressions. It's talking about others, transgressions of others. A person who has discretion doesn't focus on the sins of others, right? Yes, Brother Doug.
Let it be love, keeping self-control.
That's part of it, yep. That being able to control how you react, maybe, to the sins of others. So discretion is included in that as well. And if you go to Proverbs 2:11, Philip, if you could, or I'm sorry, Brother Brent, if you could read that. So here, Solomon's writing about wisdom, and how it can benefit and protect us. Notice it says it shall preserve thee. So God says that when we have discretion, when we have prudence, circumspection, that it actually protects us, right? He hideth from the evil, and it even preserves us. We live a longer life if we have biblical discretion. So this is a very important virtue that God wants us to possess. Now, the New Testament equivalent, as I mentioned, is in Ephesians 5:15. Philip, if you read that, and that would be circumspection. To be circumspect. In other words, to apply the wisdom to your path, to your decisions, to be very discreet in what you do and prudent. So notice it says, walk circumspectly. That's God's command to us as His children, that we walk circumspectly. It means that we walk in a way that we're very careful where we're going and what we do. That's discretion, prudence, circumspection. This is something that God wants every Christian to possess, but it's also something that we get better at as we are in this book. Amen? Because where do we learn true wisdom that we can apply to our walk but in God's Word? Which we'll talk about wisdom later, but God wants us to be prudent. God wants us to have discretion. And this is a very important trait or virtue that God wants us to possess. So let's look at some of the ways that prudence or discretion can be a blessing to us. One of the things it does is it suppresses our anger. If we look at Proverbs 12:16, Roy.
A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man overcometh shame.
And we already read 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. So one of the things that it does is it defers our anger or helps us keep our anger under control. It also, if we have discretion, prudence, it also helps us with our speech. And let's see that, Proverbs 12:23, Mr. Zeus. Proverbs 12:23.
A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaimeth foolishness.
Concealeth knowledge. So there's times when it's not wise to share a bunch of knowledge with a fool because it's not going to benefit them. And a prudent man concealeth. In other words, he's slow to speak, right? We read in James chapter 1, let every man be what? Slow to speak, quick to hear, but slow to speak, slow to wrath. Prudence, discretion even affects our speech. And it will, in the end, benefit us. It'll protect us, as we saw. It preserves us, which we saw. It protects us from evil. It preserves us, and it will even help in our walk. Let's look at some verses about that. Proverbs 14:8. Brad, if you could read that for us.
The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit.
To understand his way. Well, God wants us all to understand our way, doesn't He? Understanding what the will of the Lord is, right? Ephesians chapter 5. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand His way. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 14:15. Isaiah, could you read that for us?
The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going.
Looketh well to his going. So do you see now you're starting to get a picture of prudence or discretion? And this is a virtue that God wants Christians to possess. But again, it's one of those virtues that improves in our lives the more we're in this book. Because where do we get the wisdom to apply discretion to our walk? But from God's Word. So this is a very important virtue. Interestingly enough, in Proverbs, God even specifically points out wives. Well, that doesn't usually happen very often with these virtues, but He does with this particular one, with discretion and prudence. So we'll look at two verses on that, Proverbs 11:22. So let Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us.
As a jewel of gold in a swine's mouth, so is a fair woman which is without discretion.
So without discretion. We have a swine at home, a pet one. Yeah, I can't even picture it with a bothering to put gold in its nose. That would be silly. And then Proverbs 19:14, Howard, we'll see it again.
Health enriches the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord.
That's a nice verse, isn't it? A prudent wife is from the Lord. So God wants every Christian to possess the virtue of discretion and prudence. They are the same, just two different words for the same thing. Or New Testament circumspection. Discretion and prudence comes primarily from Proverbs. Circumspection comes from Ephesians. But this is a very important virtue because it protects us, as we saw. The very first verse we looked at, good memory verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the foolish pass on and are punished. No discretion, they get punished. And then that one we looked at, 19:11 would also be a good memory verse. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. So discretion defers our anger. So thoughts or questions about number 6, discretion, prudence, circumspection. Anybody? Then let's move on alphabetically to F, which is faith. Does God want every Christian to have the Christian virtue of faith? Absolutely. Faith. Faith is one of those words, sometimes it's hard to define, isn't it? If you had to, though, how would you do it? Anybody? If you had to define faith, what would you say? Anybody want to take a stab at defining faith? If it was me, if somebody asked me that question, I would just quote Hebrews 11:1. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But Brent?
I was going to say that. It's evidential. It's talking about substance. It's linked to hope.
Exactly. Faith and hope are very close. Matter of fact, they're pretty much the same thing. But let's look at some good memory verses for faith. Romans 15:4 is a good one. Let's look there. Brent, if you could read that for us. Romans 15:4. We're talking about faith and hope. Amen. Might have hope. So we get hope as we learn from the Old Testament, the Bible says. It builds our faith. It builds our hope when we see God working with the Old Testament saints. Amen. With Israel as well. And then at Hebrews 11:6, great memory verse. Philip, if you could read that for us. So there he's talking about two different groups of people. First is the people that have to believe that he is. Amen? So that's the faith to get saved. You can't get saved without faith, right? Faith is how we get saved, is when we place our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ as our only hope for salvation. So first we must believe that he is. And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, that he answers prayer, that he watches over his children, that he blesses. But the first part of that verse, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we have to have faith as God's children, or we can't please God. And faith is defined for us in this same chapter by giving us illustrations from many Christians' lives in the Old Testament, isn't it? People like Abraham and others how they did things by faith. In other words, they did things, they didn't see the end result necessarily. They didn't see God with their own eyes, but they stepped out and believed by faith and went forward by faith. And God blessed their faith, which he promises that he will do. Amen? God wants us to trust him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Amen? For he careth for you. That's faith. Without faith, we can't please God. But without faith, we can't even be saved. Faith is, the just shall live by what? By faith. Also, Christians, it says we walk by faith, not by sight, right? 2 Corinthians 5:7. What does that mean, not by sight? When he says we walk by faith, not by sight, what does he mean by that? Because we can see. So what does he mean when he says we're not walking by sight? Because if we didn't have our sight, we would stumble and fall. So what's he talking about? Beryl? Exactly. We cannot see heaven, can we? We cannot see Jesus. But we certainly believe in Jesus, or we wouldn't be here. We certainly believe in heaven. So that's walking by faith. Is knowing that God is with us, but that God is a spirit. God is invisible. That's faith. We do so much by faith as Christians, don't we? We believe that this Bible's preserved. That's by faith. Right? So many things are by faith. And that's what God is saying. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must believe God. We must trust God. And we must believe what he tells us in his word. And look at 1 John 5:4. God talks about the victory. Roy, if you read that for us. Isn't that a beautiful verse? The victory that overcometh the world is what? Our faith. Our faith. Our faith in God. The object of your faith has to be God. There's plenty of people that have faith, but their faith is not in the God of the Bible. And those people aren't getting anywhere, are they? They're not going to heaven. So your faith has to be in the one who is faithful and the one who will work miracles and we can trust. But faith is also our shield. Ephesians 6:16, Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the armor of God.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
You see that phrase, above all? That's an interesting phrase to put in the seven pieces of armor, isn't it? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We can't see that shield, can we, with our eyes? We can't touch it. We can't hold on to it with our fingers. So how do we take up the shield of faith, since we can't see it or touch it? Anybody? That was a question. How do we take it up above all? We can't even see it or touch it.
I suppose not allowing the circumstances to dictate. If we have our faith in Christ, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We only have that hope.
That's right. It all comes down to trusting God. Amen? Yeah. We get saved by faith, and we're to walk by faith. Holding up the shield of faith is trusting God. In whatever comes our way, and the darts are going to come, right? God says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all. Jesus said, Matthew 21:22, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. He put that one word in between two commas. Believing, that's the faith part, isn't it? Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, trusting that God hears you, trusting that God cares about you, trusting that God is an all-powerful prayer-answering God, believing, you shall receive. So we must have faith, and our faith comes from this book. Amen? That's how we know there is a God. That's how we know who is God. That's how we know how to get to heaven, is from God's Word. That's what John said. Look at John chapter 20, verse 31. Brad, if you could read that for us. John 20, verse 31.
But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life.
He says, I wrote this gospel that ye might believe. Amen? I wrote this gospel so that you could believe in Jesus Christ. And that believing in him, you might have life. Amen? And the Gospel of John talks more about eternal life than any of the other Gospels. He says, I wrote this gospel that you might believe. That's faith. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. So faith, you can't please God without it. You can't get saved without it. And you can't serve God without it. We're to walk by faith. We get saved by faith. We put up the shield of God by faith when the fiery darts come our way. Faith and hope, we must have those virtues in our Christian walk, or we're not going to get very far. We walk. Let's look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's another good memory verse that I should have mentioned. But so your memory verses, good ones, Romans 15:4. Most were written aforetime, things were written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hebrews 11:6 is another good memory verse. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then this verse I just called out, which was which one? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Where are we? Isaiah, read that for us. Now that's an easy memory verse. Amen? Look how few words it has. But what's it say? We walk by faith, not by sight. Now we've been studying Israel for 2 years on Sunday nights. Are they a good illustration of the inverse of this verse? They are, aren't they? Of the inverse. In other words, they walked by sight, didn't they? Everything with them was about their circumstances. And when things were scary, or when they didn't have something to eat or didn't have something to drink, what do? But complain and say that God didn't love them. God wasn't good. God brought them out to kill them. And then as soon as God worked a miracle and rescued them in some particular way, the God is great, God is wonderful. But it never lasted very long, did it? Because it was all by sight. As long as that, as long as there was a miracle, as long as there was manna falling from the sky, as long as there was water coming out of a rock, as long as a Red Sea opened up and drowned the soldiers, God is good. But as soon as things don't look good, God isn't good. That's walking by sight, isn't it? And the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't base our faith, our hope, our trust on our circumstances, on what we see and what we experience, we base it on God. Amen? That's walking by faith. So thoughts or questions about this very, very important Christian virtue, faith, hope. David had so much. Let's just look at an example, Psalm 71:5, but we could spend another hour just looking at some examples from David. Mr. Scott, would you read that for us, Psalm 71:5?
Well, thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Thou art my hope. Thou art my trust. Isn't that beautiful? And again, we could spend another half hour in the Psalms alone. David had faith, didn't he? He knew who God was, and he trusted God for everything in his life. Jeremiah is another good one. Howard, if you'd read Jeremiah 17:7, and we could use many Old Testament examples of people that had faith.
Do not appear unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil.
Jeremiah 17:7.
Oh, still.
No problem.
Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Whose hope the Lord is. Isn't that beautiful? Whose hope the Lord is. Hope and faith are pretty much the same thing. Blessed is that man whose hope the Lord is. That's faith. Now, if you want to know, if you want to learn more about some examples, just read Hebrews 11. That's why God gave us that chapter, isn't it? And these people didn't even have the New Testament. Some of them didn't even have the Old Testament, like Abraham. And yet, look at what they did by faith. So faith is when we are going somewhere. We're walking by faith. That's what it says, right? We walk by faith. We don't sit by faith. We walk. We go places. We step out by faith and do things for God, believing God. And just some examples. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. What's that next word? Obeyed. So what did he do? He obeyed by faith. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land. Verse 11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength. Because at the end of the verse, she judged him faithful. These all died in faith. And he could go on and on. Verse 12, or 17, sorry. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He did that by faith. By faith, 20, Isaac blessed Jacob. And on we could go. Moses' parents. And the writer of Hebrews says, verse 32, what shall I more say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Faith. Amen. We've got to have faith. Now we all, if we're saved, we placed our faith in Christ. Hallelujah. But God wants us not only to get saved by faith, he wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. So thoughts or questions about discretion or faith? Which means next week, it's faithfulness. Which is a different thing. Anybody? David.
I think those darts, the darts of the devil thing, that part.
The fiery darts of the wicked?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe that's like representing like the people. You know, like how my sons were rippers are like arrows. There's a scripture that talks about our sons and they're like our arrows. And so if the devil's darts, that might be like his sons trying to ruin your faith.
It happened. I mean, people are sometimes the darts. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the devil uses people. But sometimes he attacks our thought life as well, which the Bible talks about. He uses temptation against us, right? Temptation to commit the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He has a lot of darts at his disposal. And people is one of them, for sure. Anybody else? Faith. Yes, Beryl?
I just want to say that look, all these things, here again, in verse 34, it says, out of weakness, we're made strong. So we're all made strong through all those things, weakness in our lives.
Exactly. And didn't Paul say, or didn't God say to Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Now, we didn't go into it, but not only did all these miracles occur by faith here in Hebrews 11, even verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. But if you carry on, it says others were tortured. Tortured by faith. I hope you've all read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't, you need to. Which lists martyrs from the time of Christ up until a couple centuries ago. And yes, when people were tortured, it was by faith that they were able to stand for God, amen? Able to say amazing things as they were burnt at the stake or whatever. Where did they get that? They got it from God, by faith. Some of them, verse 36, had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Some had bonds and imprisonment. Some were stoned. Some were sawn asunder. Some were tempted, were slain with the sword. All of this is by faith. God wants us to realize having faith in God does not guarantee that your life is going to be a bed of roses. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scripture, does it? He might choose us to be a martyr by faith. It's faith that gets us through because it's God that gets us through as we trust Him. So that's the power of faith. Amen. Any other?